Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show. Hope you are having a great weekend. It's Saturday, the 5th of June, and we have another great show for you tonight. The NBA playoffs are entering the second round in the Eastern Conference. The Philadelphia 76ers will take on the Atlanta Hawks in the conference semis, and the matchup everyone is waiting to see. The Brooklyn Nets will face the Milwaukee Bucks in the other Eastern Conference semifinals. Joining me in a few minutes, Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach Chad Forcier will join me to talk about Milwaukee's first round win over the Miami Heat and how they go about scouting their next opponents in the playoffs. We'll also talk about what's next for LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. They were eliminated by the Phoenix Suns 4-2. Next up for Phoenix will be the Denver Nuggets. They also eliminated the Portland Trail Blazers 4-2. The Mean Gene Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Aces, Presidential Limousine by Captain, in the Westgate Las Vegas Resort Casino and Sportsbook. If you haven't heard, folks, Las Vegas is open for business, so make sure you get here and enjoy it. All right, as I mentioned earlier, the Eastern Conference semifinals will start this weekend, and everyone is talking about the Brooklyn Nets-Milwaukee Bucks matchup. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this, folks. When was the last time the NBA Eastern Conference was more popular than the Western Conference playoffs, right? I mean, it's been a while. And now that the Lakers are out of the playoffs, you can expect nothing less than around-the-clock coverage of the Eastern Conference from here on out. On Thursday evening, my assistant, Raelee Cadenhead, bless her heart, she notified me that one of the Milwaukee Bucks coaches was coming on the show. I mean, you can imagine what my reaction was. I was like, really? You kidding me, right? She said, no, I have one of the coaches scheduled to come on the show. Now, I should know better than to ever doubt Raelee. I mean, she has found some very interesting and exciting guests for the Mean Gene Show. How about last week, right? We had best-selling author and sports writer Sam Smith. And if you follow the Mean Gene Show podcast, you remember we were in Tampa, Florida for the Super Bowl early in the year. And somehow, somewhere, Raelee was able to find future Hall of Famer Don Cherry from the Kansas City Chiefs. I tell you, she is simply amazing. So on Thursday, I got a chance to talk with Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach Chad Forcier here on the Mean Gene Show. The Milwaukee Bucks recently defeated the Miami Heat 4 straight games in the first round of the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs. The Bucks will meet the Brooklyn Nets in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference playoffs this Saturday on TNT. My next guest has coached basketball for over 25 years, spent a few years as an assistant at Oregon State and the University of Portland. He's spent the last 20 years as an assistant coaching the NBA. He's currently an assistant with the Milwaukee Bucks. Please welcome to the show, Chad Forcier. How you doing, Coach?
Great, Gene. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Coach, thank you for being here. And first of all, I want to congratulate you on your first round win over Miami.
I appreciate it. It was something that we're proud of. Obviously, a good start to hopefully a long run in the playoffs and hopefully continuing to march toward the goals that we have for ourselves.
Coach, I got to ask, I mean, what did you guys do differently this time around against the Heat as compared to last year in the bubble?
Well, I think it's important that all your listeners realize, you know, both our teams are different. It's not like it's the exact same teams that ran it back. You know, one thing some people forget last year is we didn't even have Giannis for a game and a half in that series. But I really don't think there's much to compare. I mean, their roster was different this year. Ours obviously was significantly different. You know, of course, we were healthy with Giannis this time, and conditions in general were just entirely different. So I really look at it as just a brand new experience and really an apples and oranges conversation.
Absolutely, Coach. And speaking of, you know, just things being different, I mean, how about the addition of PJ Tucker, Clinton Portis, and Drew Holiday? How much have these guys benefited your team this year?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I've already lost track of the number, but our roster changes, in the short off season between the bubble playoff situation in Orlando and then this new season, we had a lot of new faces, and you mentioned a few of them. I mean, PJ Tucker was added at the trade deadline, so you know, he's our newest addition to our roster. But going back to day one, you know, of the new season, having Drew Holiday that we acquired in a blockbuster trade, and picking up, you know, key free agents like Bobby Portis, as you mentioned, and then Bryn Forbes. You know, we just have a lot of new faces on our team.
Coach, I got to ask, and something listeners always want to know is that, how do you guys scout games, especially, you know, when you don't really know who you're going to play? And then when you're playing a first round game like you did against Miami, and not really knowing who your next opponent is going to be. So how do you go about scouting teams?
Well, what we do is you end up having a decent idea of who your possibilities are. So as a staff of assistant coaches, we've got it all divvied up, and you know, okay, well, it's the regular season's winding down and we could play opponent A, B, or C. And, you know, when you're watching how the rest of this, you know, the games are going and the standings and all that other kind of stuff. But each of us that have, you know, whatever teams A, B, and C are that we're responsible for doing our scouting during the regular season, we're just, you know, doing our prep work and we're ready to go, you know, for whoever it ends up being. So you're just working along and you're ready. Once you get into the playoff series, you know, as you're playing through the first round, you already know how the brackets are laid out, and you are aware that, you know, your second round, if you're fortunate enough to succeed in the first round, you know you're going to be playing the winner of, you know, of such and such series. And so, once again, assistant coaches, you know, if we use this case in point, one of us was getting ready, you know, we knew we were going to play the winner of Brooklyn Boston in the second round. So one of us was doing the prep work for Brooklyn, and someone else was doing the prep work for Boston. And, you know, so you're keeping pace.
Oh, absolutely, Coach. And I got to ask you also, I know you joined the Bucks in 2019, and how has it been working with Coach Mike Budenholzer?
It's been great. Coach, his nickname is Bud. We call him Coach Bud. But Coach Budenholzer, he and I have a long, long history and friendship, you know, in this business, going back, you know, about 25 years now. And we had an opportunity to be assistant coaches together in San Antonio with mm-hmm. the Spurs, you know, working for Coach Popovich. And so, you know, to have a long time of just being in the trenches together as associates, as assistant, you know, coaches, gives us a great, you know, history together and comfort level and familiarity. Now, this is the first time that he's been my boss, mm-hmm. You know, but he's been, he's just exceptional to work for. And I consider it, you know, just one heck of a privilege.
Now, if you don't mind, Coach, I want to talk about another coach that you had success with, and that is Rick Carlisle. And have you had any opportunity to see what he's been doing there in the playoffs with the Dallas Mavericks?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always try to keep close tabs on how his teams are doing and how his career continues to just ultimately just, you know, be amazing and, you know, building a Hall of Fame career. And so I don't get to watch all the time or every minute of every game, but I've been keeping tabs on his series with the Clippers and got to watch some of it last night. And I know it's just been crazy. I mean, the, you know, home team hasn't won a game in the series yet, but it's, you know, and it's crazy. Sometimes it goes like that, some, you know, some years. And but once again, he's obviously got a high-powered team and a heck of a lot of talent. And Coach Carlisle is, you know, the best in the business.
Coach, I also want to share with my listeners, coaching seems to run in the family. Am I correct?
Yeah, there's some I've got two younger siblings. My brother Todd has been the head strength and conditioning coach of the Portland Trail Blazers. They're actually on TV right now in Portland. I've got an eye on the game as I'm talking to you, and they're working a 13-point lead here middle of the third. But he's been the head strength and conditioning coach there with the Portland Trail Blazers. He's in his 11th year. And he's had a storied career in his own right, had a long run in a number of high level, you know, college programs, you know, Kentucky, Syracuse, and a handful of others, including UNLV once upon a time. And so, and then my sister is, you know, raising two young kids right now, but prior to starting her family, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, she was a successful, high school girls, you know, varsity head coach for a couple of different high schools and for a number of years, and was, you know, very good at her craft as well.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Coach. Well, I'm going to let you enjoy the game, and I want to wish you and the Bucks the best in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.
No problem, Coach. Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach Chad Forcier here on the Mean Gene Show, KDWN 720 AM, 101.5 FM. All right, great stuff from Coach Chad Forcier with the Milwaukee Bucks, assistant coach with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know what was fascinating about that interview, folks, is that he was talking to me while watching the Portland Trail Blazers game against the Denver Nuggets. By the way, Portland did lose that series to the Denver Nuggets, and now the Denver Nuggets will face the Phoenix Suns in the Western Conference semifinals. But very interesting. His brother is the strength and conditioning coach there for the Portland Trail Blazers. So just keeping it in the family there. But Coach Forcier has coached for 25 years total, the last 20 years in the NBA. And I thought it was very interesting in how they prep for games. I always wanted to know. I mean, come on. When you look at NBA teams and you see the countless number of assistant coaches on the bench now. I mean, everyone has a role, and I always knew that. But it's just interesting how they prepare for games. And, of course, knowing your opponent and knowing who you're going to play, and they did have that leverage of knowing, okay, well, you know, once the seeding was done and they knew that they would be playing, you know, the sixth seed, Miami Heat, which they had somewhat of an advantage. They didn't have to play any of the teams that, you know, had to get into the play-in tournament. But so that was an advantage, being able to scout your team in that regards. And, of course, also having the luxury of playing a game. You know, they were playing their matchup with the Miami Heat, and, of course, being able to look at what the Boston and the Brooklyn Nets series, what was going on there too. So just having coaches and having so many responsibilities, and that's why those assistant coaches in the NBA are so important. Same thing with the NFL. It's just like the position coaches. You know, you have your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator, your linebackers coach, your quarterbacks coach. So pretty much the same in the NBA when it comes to assistant coaches. But getting back to this matchup here, and we talked about the Miami Heat series from last year. Two different teams and under different circumstances. Remember, they played in the bubble last year down in it was actually this year down in Miami. No, it was last year. And they also didn't have the same personnel. Now, Miami didn't really change that much, didn't really pick up nothing major in free agency. But the Milwaukee Bucks did. They picked up Clinton Portis, PJ Tucker, and Drew Holiday, which were just key acquisitions to have on this team, and that made that team so much deeper, so much stronger. I mean, you know, and defense wise, oh my goodness, it doesn't get any better than that. And that's why this matchup here with the Brooklyn Nets is going to be so interesting, because, you know, no one really has an answer for Kevin Durant, but at the same time, no one has an answer for Giannis when he's on and doing his thing. But man, now defense wise, I think the Bucks have an edge there. But, you know, Kevin Durant, and let me just talk about Kevin Durant for a minute, because I remember interviewing him years ago when he played with the Oklahoma City Thunder. This guy is just long. And looking at him, seeing him, and the things that he's able to do with a basketball is just unreal. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I extended my arm as far as it could go just to talk with him, you know, to interview him. And I'm 5'11", but he's, you know, 6'11", or 7 foot, whatever, something like that. But anyway, just an amazing talent. And that's why this series is going to be so interesting, you know. P.J. Tucker, I also have to talk about P.J. Tucker. Now, The earlier games that were played in the regular season, the matchups between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets, I believe the Milwaukee Bucks won two of the three. They played early in May, May 2nd, May 4th, I believe. That May 2nd game stands out because that was a 117-114 win by the Milwaukee Bucks. I remember Kevin Durant scoring 42 points in that game, and Giannis had 49 points. It was basically a shootout. So if you want to get a little preview of this, you know, before that series started, man, just go and watch that game, May 2nd, Bucks versus Nets. No James Harden was in that game. Okay, so that was interesting. P.J. Tucker played and Drew Holiday played, but no James Harden. So now James Harden is back. The big three is there, and it's going to be interesting to see who plays point guard in this series because I do believe that, back to P.J. Tucker, P.J. Tucker played with James Harden in Houston with the Rockets. So, you know, these guys, P.J. Tucker will guard your best player. So I just got to think now. I could be wrong. I should have asked Coach when I had the opportunity, but I just got to think that P.J. Tucker is going to be guarding James Harden. I mean, why wouldn't he, right? So that's going to be interesting. But when it comes to the point guard, so if James Harden is not effective, then you got Kyrie Irving. So that's the luxury you have there with having two guys that can play the point guard position. But it's going to be interesting, very, very interesting. So I have to sort of pick a winner in this matchup here and in this series here between the Bucks and the Nets. So I'm going to go with the Bucks, and let me tell you why, because I just think defensively they have the advantage, although we're going to see it, you know, how that defense works with guarding a Kevin Durant. Also got to, you know, look at the coaching there, you know, Mike Budenholzer. Hey, the Milwaukee Bucks are on the mission. You know, everyone is counting them out. You know, they finished three, the number three seed there in the conference behind the Nets and the 76ers. But, man, I mean, that team just improved. I mean, they are just better all around. They just didn't pick up any three players to help them. I mean, Clinton Portis, P.J. Tucker, and Drew Holiday have all played a role in the success of the Milwaukee Bucks. So that's why this series is going to be so great. Now, and I say the Bucks will win the series because I just the bench of the Brooklyn Nets now, they have played a lot. Remember, there were times when the big three there for the Brooklyn Nets were not all, you know, in sync there. What, they only played together, what, 9 games or so, something like that, maybe 9 or 10 games together. Now, they did score 104 points between Harden, Durant, and Kyrie Irving. That was a very impressive over the Boston Celtics. But, you know, we're talking about Boston, and we're also talking about a team that just really didn't have the horses to go up against a team like the Brooklyn Nets. That won't be the same now. They do have bigs, so we have to, you know, give them credit there. They, you know, DeAndre Jordan hasn't played a whole lot, so it's going to be interesting. I got to think he's going to play a lot. Blake Griffin, you know, but neither one of those guys are really known for the defense, you know. So this is why I got when you look at the bigs on the Milwaukee Bucks team, folks, you got Lopez, you got Clint Portis, Giannis. I mean, you have height there. You just really have what you need for a series such as this one, and this is going to be interesting. So, man, we want to see 7 games, right? I mean, this is the marquee matchup here. This is basically the NBA Finals, not taking anything from the West and who's going to, you know, ultimately make the finals from the West. But, I mean, does it really matter? Because it seems like the winner of this game should and probably will be your NBA champion or go to, be NBA champion. Now, I know Philadelphia fans, I know you probably didn't like that statement, but I mean, I mean, this is going to be huge. And just looking at the Philly series against Atlanta, big shout out to Nate McMillan and Doc Rivers. I mean, how do you market this series between Philadelphia and Atlanta? I mean, Atlanta just basically went and punched the Knicks in the mouth. I mean, whoa. the Knicks didn't even know what happened. I mean, the Knicks were so excited about just making the playoffs and being a number four seed, but man, they certainly didn't play like it in the first round of the NBA Finals over there in the East. And the Atlanta Hawks, man, both teams had something coming. They just neither one of them has been relevant in the NBA for a while. So you had a great matchup there. But Clint Capella actually trash talked, folks. I didn't believe the words that came out of that man's mouth and what he said was going to happen to New York in New York. And they just went in there and beat them. Incredible. I mean, the Atlanta Hawks, when you think about trash talking in basketball, you would never, ever put Clint Capella or the Atlanta Hawks in that sentence. But that's a great team now. And Trae Young makes them so much better. So you got to think that some of Trae Young is rubbing off on Clint Capella because, I mean, man, this guy is going to be one hell of a player. He's a hell of a player now, but man, he's the future. Now, a lot of folks are already comparing him calling him the next Steph Curry, but no, how about just call him who he is, and that's Trae Young, and he has a incredible basketball IQ and a sense of humor too. How about that, taking a bow before the fans of Madison Square Garden? I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do when you put on a good performance in New York? We've seen some of the greats do it. We've seen Michael Jordan do it. Kobe Bryant did it. I mean, when you go to New York and Madison Square Garden and you put on a show, you're supposed to acknowledge the crowd. And I mean, some of his press interviews are just remarkable. This is a real smart kid here. And this series, how do you market this series? Is it going to be Trae Young versus Ben Simmons? Is it going to be Doc Rivers versus Nate McMillan? I mean, it's going to be interesting either way you look at it. So I have to pick a winner in that particular series, too, before it starts. I believe they will start Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time on ABC. So I'm going to say the Philadelphia 76ers will win this series. Doc Rivers is an amazing coach. So is Nate McMillan. But, I'm going to say that even with Joel Embiid's knee injury. I mean, he didn't play much in the series against the Washington Wizards. They didn't really need him as much because other players were getting things done. But, you know, as you get deeper in the playoffs and the matchups become even more difficult, I would got to think that they would certainly need the services of Joel Embiid to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I got to think that that's going to happen there. So that is my choice there for your Eastern Conference. I guess I pretty much I'm picking the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Philadelphia 76ers for the Eastern Conference Finals now, although there's so much basketball left to be played. Now, in the second half of the show, I would talk about the Los Angeles Lakers and where they are going to go from here. And I'm also going to talk about Naomi Osaka, the 23-year-old Japanese tennis star, and what's going on with her. Tim Tebow and his attempt to make a comeback in the NFL. He's been given that opportunity, so we'll talk about that. And we will talk about that. I know there was one other thing that I had on my agenda today to talk about. Oh, Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown, the former NBA number one draft pick back in, somewhere in the 90s. But anyway, Kwame Brown has been very vocal here lately, addressing his critics and firing back at people who thought he was a bust and all of that. So I have to really talk about that because I haven't really had an opportunity to address that, especially since things got so heated between Kwame Brown, Steven Jackson, Gilbert Arenas, and Matt Barnes, which all three of those guys are interesting enough. And of course, Stephen A. Smith had his thoughts and opinions about the whole Kwame Brown situation as well. So This is going to be a very interesting topic. So what I need you to do is let's take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. And when I come back, we will get into all of those topics and more. You're listening to The Mean Gene Show right here on KDWN, 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas. Welcome back to the second half of The Mean Gene Show here on KDWN, 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas. Hey, folks, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at SportsKings. That's at SportsKings. You can also catch me on Instagram, SportsKings Podcast, all one word there. And, of course, we have a website, www.TheMeanGeneShow.com. Once again, the show is brought to you by Presidential Limousine by Captain the Westgate Resort and Casino, Las Vegas, and the Las Vegas Aces. All right. Now, as far as the free trip to Las Vegas for two, remember that includes airline tickets, hotel stay, and a limo ride to and from the airport, compliments of Presidential Limousine by Captain. That contest winner will be announced pretty soon, and it's going to be via direct message on Twitter. So if you followed the show, followed me on Twitter at SportsKings, and you retweeted the contest, then we said we would contact you with a direct message to let you know you won. We're going to be doing that pretty soon, and we will also announce on air who that winner was. Okay, so stay tuned. So I want to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, and that will be all of my discussion about basketball on this particular show, okay, because we got some other things we need to talk about later. Tim Tebow, Noemi Saka, and Kwame Brown, as I promised you. But looking at the Los Angeles Lakers, now this team was heavily favored to beat the Phoenix Suns. Now that was probably the most scariest part about this, okay, because it was almost too good to be true. I know folks in Vegas probably said, nah, don't fall for it. I know Mr. Picks was like, nah, don't fall for this. Don't fall for the Lakers going to beat the Phoenix Suns in the first round. And man, Vegas quickly jumped on that, and that was basically what bettors were betting on, definitely what Vegas was betting on. But, you know, a number two seed is a number two seed, and a number seven seed is a number seven seed. And how this thing actually ended is basically the way it probably should have ended. The Lakers were playing like a seven seeded team, maybe even worse. They were part of the play-in tournament. Folks thought that they were going to just get things going, including myself. Now, I'm not going to just be pointing fingers at anyone, because I am probably the biggest Laker fan that you will ever meet. But at the same time, I'm also a journalist, and I have a talk show, and I have to give my non-biased opinion on things as well. And my biased opinion was, yeah, the Lakers are going to regroup. They're going to get it together. They are going to find ways to win their second championship with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And Lakers fans know, Lakers, when they win NBA championships, they do it in multiple games. Multiple times. They're the last championship they won, they were back-to-back. The one before that, they were back-to-back-to-back. So that's just the expectation from Los Angeles Lakers fans and the organization. Congratulations to the Phoenix Suns for just basically going out there and playing like a number two seed, playing like a team that deserved the number two seed, and playing like a team that wants to get to the NBA Finals. So, and you know, that's another conversation. Perhaps next week we'll talk about the Denver Phoenix series and who's going to actually represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. But the Phoenix Suns did exactly what they were supposed to do. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Ayton, and that supporting cast, Crowder, oh my goodness. I mean, everyone just went out there and played ball. And Monty Williams, certainly deserving of this conference semifinals matchup with Denver and what they have accomplished. And they just beat the Lakers. They just beat the Lakers. And that's all that's, you know, that needs to be said. But let's talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's talk about exactly what is going to happen with this team. And let's talk about the whole meltdown, the breakdown. Let's start with Anthony Davis first. Okay, one of the reasons why Anthony Davis is so injury prone, folks, because when you have seven footers, 6'11" guys of his size out there doing things that his body is just not able to do. And folks have talked about Anthony Davis, the fact that he is just not one of those ones that you're probably going to see at a gym near you. I mean, his workout regimen is been heavily criticized by everyone in the NBA. Okay, so when you got a guy that doesn't like to hit the gym, but you also have a guy that wants that thinks sometimes he's a point guard, thinks sometimes he's a small forward. You know, hey, his hustle play, yeah, I give it to him. I mean, he spends more time on the ground chasing loose balls than any big man I've ever seen do. But at the same time, Anthony Davis, he demands so much out of his body when he's on the basketball court, but he's just not really doing much to help his body when he's not on the basketball court. What does that mean? Well, you get a lot of injuries. I mean, this guy is just so injury prone. Now, I was wondering why the Lakers didn't give this man so much money. You know, why didn't he get, you know, KD money, Giannis money? And now I know why, because, I mean, you never know when you're going to have this guy. And to put Anthony Davis out there in a game six situation, I was at game four in Los Angeles at the Staples Center when he got injured with the groin injury. I didn't see much. As a matter of fact, just imagine, you know, being there and not knowing what the hell was going on. Someone had to text me to tell me that Anthony Davis wouldn't return in game four of that series there at the Staples Center last week. But to bring him out again, and it was crazy. I mean, what was it the Los Angeles Lakers were trying to accomplish by putting Anthony Davis out on the court in the condition that he's in? Hell, if it wasn't his groin injury, something else probably was hurting Anthony Davis. I mean, because something always is hurting Anthony Davis. And so the Lakers are to blame for that. That was just piss poor decision from the Lakers organization to put an injured man out there that he couldn't do nothing. What, he ran up and down the court maybe once or twice, and that was it. And at that point, Anthony Davis, don't even sit on the sidelines, man. Just go in the locker room, watch the game. I mean, at that point, you become a distraction because the TV cameras are going to show you sitting there being a cheerleader. And that's what the Lakers have had to deal with all season long, not having Anthony Davis and or LeBron James. LeBron James did return from his injury a while back and was still able to put it out there. But anyway, blame the coaching staff. And let's talk about Frank Vogel, number two here. Frank Vogel, reports are that the Lakers are considering offering him an extension. And I'm like, are you kidding me? An extension? How about a firing? How about a firing of not only Frank Vogel, how about firing everyone on that coaching staff that was involved with the decision making when it came to playing people like Drummond, playing people like Montrezl Harrell? Why did you go out and get the sixth man of the year from the Los Angeles Clippers, Montrezl Harrell, get him on your team and don't play him? You know, there was rumors that, okay, Montrezl Harrell was in a doghouse. Okay, well, all right, well, get him out the damn doghouse. It's the playoffs. So, I mean, why are you punishing players when you're trying to win a series and defend your title? Not really sure what the situation was with Montrezl Harrell. I know he tweeted some stuff about his playing time and the coach's decisions and all of that stuff. I mean, publicly doing something like that is not going to get you a lot of points with your coach or, you know, the Lakers organization, because they just don't really play that kind of stuff. But for the most part, I have to say that, you know, Montrezl Harrell should have been playing way more than he played, not only in this series, but just for the last couple of months, you know, the last couple of games, the season. You know, putting Montrezl Harrell out there and put them out there to play center. We've seen that, which was ridiculous at sometimes. Now, I mean, this kid you know, 6'8", 6'9" plays big. He plays way bigger than his size, but he gives you that energy, that hustle, and things. And when I was at the game at the Staples Center last Sunday, folks were like, okay, is he going to play? Putting him in meaningless minutes at the end of a game that you're not going to win. I don't know. I don't know. The whole coaching staff needs to be reevaluated, probably fired at some point. No one on that coaching staff deserves to be promoted to head coach. They all should be fired on the buddy plan. Now, let's talk about Andre Drummond. Now, I see Drummond had good games when he was with Detroit, but I also saw where he had good games against, you know, mediocre opponents. So you come over to the Western Conference, you come over to be with the Lakers, the competition there is going to be pretty top-notch. We did not see that same Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond just between turnovers, just getting pushed around in the paint, which is what we actually brought him on the team to do, was push other folks around. So I guess by now you can tell I'm probably talking as a fan. I'm switching back and forth from my fan status to that of a member of the media. But let's get back to the fan part here. So Drummond just looked clueless at times, and then let's go back to the coaching staff. I don't recall seeing Andre Drummond on the court for the Lakers in their elimination game against the Phoenix Suns. Now, maybe I went to the bathroom. Maybe I, you know, went downstairs, did something that, okay, I missed Andre Drummond. And if he played, somebody please let me know. But if he played, I can guarantee he didn't make a difference because the Phoenix Suns beat the brakes off the Lakers. Now, let me put on my media hat now. So, Andre Drummond, what's going to happen with him? I got to think reports are coming out of Los Angeles that they are interested in keeping him. So we got to see. I don't know. The Lakers, they are in a pretty interesting situation because the West is going to get better. Denver has proven that. Utah has proven that. All those teams that we used to like say, they ain't ready yet. They're not ready yet. You know, give them a few years. Well, those few years are here. The Phoenix Suns really through the draft has done right, you know, by bringing in the right players, Devin Booker, Aiden, you know, and then bringing in a Chris Paul and Monty Williams. All the pieces are just falling together for the Phoenix Suns. Probably the one team that people did not see rising to the top, the Denver Nuggets. Same thing with the Denver Nuggets. Okay, well, you know, they can't beat certain teams. They choke on big, you know, certain games. That's not the case anymore either. The Denver Nuggets, and rightfully so, that these two teams are playing each other in Western Conference semifinals because they absolutely do deserve it. We are going to have to see in LeBron James. We have to see what's going to happen with LeBron James. I mean, the first time LeBron James has ever been eliminated out in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, folks. I mean, should that be a surprise? You know, at his age and at how long he's been doing this. All good things are going to eventually come to an end, wouldn't you agree? And you saw that. So if LeBron James, if he retires, I mean, I got to think, you know, coming back next year won't make much of a difference. You got to think, well, do the team, if LeBron James leave, does the team build around Anthony Davis? I don't think so. I mean, so where do they start? Dennis Schroeder, who wanted $100 million, but played like he deserved $100. What's going to happen with this team, Caldwell Pope? I mean, so don't be surprised if you see a shakeup in the Lakers organization. I know, you know, some of you would say, Mean Gene, really? I mean, they only lost first round, and they were the defending champions last year. But no, I mean, that's just expectations is just that much more for a team like the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to talk about Naomi Osaka. She is the reigning U.S. Open and Australian Open singles champion. And on Monday, she withdrew from the French Open. Okay, and if you can recall before the tournament started, Osaka said she wouldn't be doing any press interviews during the championship in an effort to preserve her mental health. Last Sunday, Osaka picked up her first win in that French Open, and she also was fined $15,000 for not participating in media requirements. So folks have just really been talking about this story and talking about Naomi Osaka, and a lot of folks have actually come to her defense and saying that, you know, this is something that she is dealing with and she's not using it in any kind of way. I mean, mental health is a real, real situation. We've seen that from Kevin Love. We've heard that from Kyrie Irving. I mean, you know, athletes are just really being a Dak Prescott. I mean, people are really speaking up and talking about that. And I think we also think sometimes that because these guys are athletes and ladies are athletes, that, okay, hey, just go out and do what you're paid to do. And that's play professional sports and do it at a high level. And we tend to forget that these folks are human just like everyone else. They're not always in front of the camera. They're not always in front of large crowds. They have their moments and think that any amount of money, success, fame, fortune makes a person just feel great all the time. Folks have their moments. They have, you don't know the history. You don't know what these folks deal with on a day in and day out. I mean, you just got to look at this thing from a whole different perspective. I also support Naomi Osaka, and I believe someone basically what gave her wanted to pay the fine, the $15,000 fine for her, because it was like, okay, really? I think she did right by deciding to just step away. I mean, it's just, and that goes to show you that these folks are not playing. To drop out of a tournament that she probably could have won, and I think she probably would have, says a lot. Says that, hey, let's take this serious. Let's look at this, and let's treat it, you know, for what it is. Big props to Naomi Osaka. What else? I said there was a couple of things I wanted to talk about during the second half. Am I getting old? Am I, you know, forgetting things now? I can't do that right in the middle of a show. Oh, yes, Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow. I haven't really had an opportunity to chime in on the whole Tim Tebow situation and the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer. I can already say that, for one, Jacksonville Jaguars are a disaster of an organization. Their owner is a very wealthy, rich man who is starting to treat this team like it's a toy. Now, I guess publicity is good, because anytime folks are talking about your team, that's a good thing. That means that, okay, something is going on. It's not always positive. Okay, they had the number one draft pick. They picked Trevor Lawrence to come in there. They hired Urban Meyer in the offseason. So it just has this whole college vibe to it, you know. And someone forgot to tell Urban Meyer, this is the National Football League. This is not Ohio State. This is not Florida. And Tim Tebow gets a lot of static for, and maybe some things are not his fault, but the fact that he doesn't really say or do a lot to defend himself. And Tim Tebow was a great college football player during his era. He played for Urban Meyer, so there's no surprise that the connection between these two gentlemen is strong. I get that. Tim Tebow was allowed to try out, and actually he signed a one-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay? And he is supposed to be playing tight end, but now reports are coming out of Jacksonville that he might be used as a backup quarterback, or, you know, trick plays, something similar to Taysom Hill, what the New Orleans Saints does with him. So I want you to listen to Urban Meyer describe Tim Tebow, and we're talking about Tim Tebow of today. And the soundbite is from the Chris Collinsworth podcast, where Urban Meyer was a guest. And this is Urban Meyer talking about Tim Tebow.
There's a thought going around, you know, he was in the best shape of his life, asked to see if he could work out with a couple of our coaches. I wasn't even there. And they came back to me and said, wow, this guy's in incredible shape. And I said, then I went another time and watched him try him out. And they said, go work on these things. He comes back later. They try him out again. I'm not there. Come in and they said, wow.
Don't have time.
You know, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. Jesus. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision.
Well, Coach, it sounds like you have already made a decision. I mean, Tim Tebow is practicing. And, I mean, the latest update says that, hey, he's out there doing things with the team. And position coaches are working with him and all of this stuff. But how about Urban Meyer saying that, you know, he looks like he's 18-year-old. Well, looking like you're 18-year-old is one thing. Playing like it is another thing. Tim Tebow is 33 years old. So I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, sometimes you just have to say the obvious. Hey, I want to give him a chance. I like him. I want him to be part of my organization. I mean, just say it. I mean, but this whole circus thing here, the fact that a 33-year-old Tim Tebow, who is, I mean, not a bad age there. That 33 is okay. But he's not a great athlete. I mean, it's just crazy. This is it's amazing. And the fact that there are other guys out there much younger, probably a little bit more talented, are not getting that opportunity to play because the Jacksonville Jaguars organization has gone out of their way to accommodate Tim Tebow. So that's basically what the fuss is all about. And we shall see. You know, I mean, maybe this thing, maybe we're all wrong. Maybe Tim Tebow comes out and just does something miraculously to shut all of us up. And the Jacksonville Jaguars go 17-0, or they win the AFC South or whatever. I mean, all of these are just far-fetched things that I'm saying right now, but we shall see. Okay. All right. The last topic I want to talk about is Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown has been vocal lately after not really saying a whole lot, and he is just not really a talkative person. I mean, if you watch his demeanor while he played basketball with all the teams that he played basketball for, he was just never one of those guys to be outspoken or loud. I mean, he was a kid. He was, what, 17 years old when he came into the league, played with Michael Jordan. I mean, how many 17-year-olds come out of high school and get to play with Michael Jordan? Somebody who they have idolized probably his entire life, right? But anyway, you have to watch the, I think it's 1 hour and 15 minutes long. Kwame Brown is talking about his experience being a 17-year-old with a lot of money, and just, you know, playing with Michael Jordan, playing with some other great NBA players. But I think what sparked Kwame Brown to come out and speak after all this time is that, you know, he has just been the topic of a lot of negative conversations. And I will have to say that at some point in time, I may have referenced Kwame Brown as far as the fact that he was a bust and didn't perform or what have you. And shame on me. Okay. I mean, I'm only, you know, describing what I felt, and it was my opinion, and it's what I thought. Now, I've never met or talked to Kwame Brown in my years of covering sports, but you know, that was just my opinion of Kwame Brown. But now Kwame Brown, what he did in this 1 hour and 15 minute video is he's just set the record straight. You have to watch the YouTube video of Kwame Brown. He's sitting there in a chair. I guess he has somewhat of a producer somewhere. I think it's a podcast actually, right, that he does. So you have to watch that because I don't want to spoil it for you. I don't want to you have to listen to it. But I listened to the entire podcast, and Kwame Brown changed my opinion of how I felt about him and what I thought about him. And this was only as a player. I certainly would never judge this guy as an individual and as a man. But Kwame Brown set the record straight. And Steven Jackson was one of the people he referenced in the podcast. Matt Barnes was another one in Gilbert Arenas. So I'm not going to give all that away. But I will say that since that podcast was released, and there's been a lot of back and forth, Stephen A. Smith from ESPN also chimed in, and he sort of berated Kwame Brown with videos of his bad games. Now, I didn't think that was necessarily fair because, you know, it's easy for Steve and A. Smith to use his platform and his producers and technical staff to orchestrate a lot of videos and NBA coverage and content of Kwame Brown. It was more like his follies, flops, you know. But at the same time, there were games that Kwame Brown performed really good. I mean, there were some games where I remember one game he put up 30 points, I think 10, 11 rebounds, something like that. So it would only have been fair to put up the other stuff too. So that was pretty bad on Stephen A. Smith's part. Now, I have heard since then Stephen A. Smith has apologized. And I haven't seen that video. I haven't heard Stephen A. Smith apologize to Kwame Brown. If he did, good for him. But also Stephen Jackson, who came out with a video immediately after Kwame Brown's video, and that video, Stephen Jackson was continuing to rip Kwame Brown, and he was doing it with some of his boys in the video as well. And since then, Stephen Jackson has come out and apologized and has stated that he and Kwame Brown have made amends and there's no more beef between them, which is even greater, right? That's excellent. Well, I think that's about going to wrap it up for this episode of The Mean Gene Show. Hope you enjoyed the show. I want to thank my guests, Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach Chad Forcier, for coming on the show, especially right in the middle of the NBA playoffs. I mean, that was a treat to have him come on. And as we get ready for the Milwaukee Bucks and Brooklyn Nets series, hope you enjoy the NBA playoffs this weekend. We'll see you right back here on The Mean Gene Show, KDWN, 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas.